You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right. It's another edition of Locked On Pelicans. It's a day during the week, a weekday. And of course, you know, we're coming to you 5 days a week. So I know you're going to be right here listening along with me. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Also a writer for BourbonStreetShots.com. Today, this Thursday, we're going to break down the Pelicans' loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. It was an 89-83 loss in overtime in a game that was just really kind of piss poor from both teams, especially offensively. Both teams looked absolutely terrible. I mean, an OT loss that was 89-83. It was 75-75 heading into that overtime period. Not a whole lot of good to take away from this, though. There's some things. We're definitely going to be talking about that today. And in the second half of the podcast, I'm going to definitely be talking about whether Pelicans fans should be worried about this 0-5 start. Is it panic time? Do we fire everybody? Or is there some hope here for maybe the season's going to turn around? Maybe some bright spots will come of it other than Anthony Davis. Is there anything we can start to look for the team to build on here? That's what we're going to talk about in the second half. I'm sure a lot of people had two TVs going with World Series Game 7 tonight. I had my head kind of bouncing back and forth between both of them. I don't even like baseball, and I got excited for this Game 7. My brother, Nick, is a huge Chicago Cubs fan. We used to kind of live there a little bit, and I know he was out in Los Angeles rooting hard for him now, and I'm sure he's out partying. So that was a fun thing, too. So I wonder if a lot of people really saw this game for the New Orleans Pelicans. So Memphis, we'll talk about what happened after. What does this 0-5 start mean? Panic mode, not panic mode. So thank you guys for listening to Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is the only thing that's coming to you guys 5 days a week that you can get first thing in the morning, listen to on your drive to work while you're jogging. I've had some people, as weird as this is going to sound, especially because they told me about it, where they're listening to it in the shower as they're getting ready for work. So however you want to listen, whether you want to listen to it on iTunes, on Audio Boom, where it's hosted, like I said, the past couple days, use Stitcher on my phone to get these podcasts from when I'm driving around or when I'm doing work around the house. That's my favorite thing. Get them right there. So make sure you're rating us 5 stars, that you're subscribing so you get the latest episode right away. Again, we come out at 6 in the morning. That's my goal for you guys, so you get your news right away when you start your day. That's what you want. Unfortunately, it's been depressing news to start the year, but we'll see if that changes. So again, I'm your host, Jake Madison. Thank you guys for listening, and let's start to jump into everything. Okay, I lied. We're not going to jump into that game just yet. I mentioned it to you yesterday. I've mentioned it all the time for you guys, and that is SeatGeek. This is the best way to get in on the action. Make sure you're in the Smoothie King Center, in the Superdome for any sporting event you want. You know, even if you're not in New Orleans, I've gone off to other cities and I've wanted to go to games to check out the arena, see other teams playing. I use SeatGeek for that as well. I've been to Dallas before. I've gone to their arena to watch games. I use SeatGeek to get tickets the day of. It was absolutely wonderful. A couple people even were tweeting at me saying they've used SeatGeek to get tickets for bachelor parties. It's a great thing. Go out with your buds for a night. And SeatGeek's the best way to get in on the action. It's a ticket aggregator. If you go to their website, SeatGeek, they're going to show you everything you need. It's got all the tickets listed. It's got the prices, and it's also got grades by them. It's going to say A if it's good value, F if it's not great value. It shows you which tickets you want to get. You know, when's the time to buy them? If it's green, get that ticket before someone else does, because they will certainly be sold. And for our listeners of Locked On Pelicans, we got a pretty awesome promo for you guys. If you download the SeatGeek app on your phone, go to settings, go to that, enter promo code. And the promo code is going to be LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans. LO Pelicans. It's going to give you a $20 rebate on the first purchase you make. Get some money back for a game you wanted to go to anyway. I really can't recommend this highly enough. I'm happy that they partner with us on this show. So definitely go download the SeatGeek app, put in that promo code of LO Pelicans. Get to the game you want to go to. Get your $20 back. It's an absolutely wonderful thing. All right, so the Pelicans lose in Memphis, 89-83 in OT, tied at 77 at the end of regulation. I mean, that's just, you know, trash bad, dumpster fire, whatever you want to say. There's no kind of way to put a bow on it or sugarcoat it. It was absolutely atrocious offense. The Pelicans shot 37% from the field. Memphis was actually worse, 35.1%. And, you know, on a night where a team's playing very poorly against the Pelicans, you would hope that Anthony Davis could take over, could carry the team as we've seen him do. But he actually struggled mightily tonight. He was only 3 of 13 from the field, 1 of 4 from deep. He finished with 10 points, 7 rebounds, and for him, an incredibly high 5 turnovers. He did not take care of the ball very well. Pelicans didn't do well taking care of the ball overall. They had, 20 turnovers total here. 22. Not exactly what they want to do. They've been very good about taking care of the ball. Part of that is Anthony Davis doesn't really turn it over very often. So 5 in a game for him is exceptionally high. Even Tim Frazier, who had doubts about his ball security, let's call it, has played very well in that sense. He hasn't really turned it over. You know, those 22 turnovers led to 23 points for Memphis. Just easier scoring for a team that was having trouble scoring. Think about it. They put up 89 points and 23 of those came off of turnovers. If the Pelicans could have limited that in some sense, they would have been able to eke out a very ugly win, but they didn't, and they lost, and now they're 0-5. Anthony Davis, you know, he's playing against a well-rested team. Grizzlies lost pretty badly last night to the Timberwolves. They rested Marc Gasol. They rested Conley. You know, maybe AD was just tired himself. He's been carrying this team through the previous 4 games. You know, he's only one man. He gets tired, I'm sure, at times too. And I think he just kind of had one of those other off nights where fatigue caught up to him a little bit. Hard to fault him for that, but he is a top player and he needs to come out and he needs to play well for this team to succeed. I'm not going to really rag on Anthony Davis. You know who he is. You know he's not really going to have games like this. It's kind of a fluke, one-off thing. Again, with the way he's playing to start the year, you can't really fault him. The good news is some other Pelicans really did step up tonight, and guys we haven't really seen so far really do that. The first one that kind of jumps to mind is Langston Galloway. I don't even really remember him playing in the loss the other night before this Memphis game. And he came out and shot really well. He's a good shooter from 3. He's always shot above, I think, 32, 34%. And his stroke's been off to start the year. But he kept shooting tonight, and that was kind of the big thing. He missed a few of his early attempts, and it didn't kind of get him down. You know, shooters need to shoot out of slumps. And Galloway, you know, got 32 minutes to do that tonight. He finished 4 of 7 for deep. That was really important. It's going to open the floor. He passed well. He had better court vision than we'd seen. And I think, you know, he's one of those guys that needs minutes to kind of get in a rhythm when, you know, he's playing some, not playing some. He was starting in preseason, not starting in preseason. It's tough to get in a groove. And I think that might have affected him a little bit. The other part is maybe he's just inconsistent, which we're going to touch on in the second half of the podcast today about inconsistencies here. But he had a pretty good game. Needed. It's nice to see his name show up on a list of things that are going well for the Pelicans. I'm not sold on him being fixed yet. We'll have to wait to see how he does against Phoenix on Friday with that. Buddy Hield also actually looked like an NBA caliber shooter tonight. Notice I said shooter and not all around player. He was 4 of 9 from deep. That was really good. He needed to get that shot going. You can see how frustrated he's been with it. He's known as a shooter. He wants to get his shots. And the fact that he can at least just get kind of a couple going, I think that's just going to be big for his confidence. You know, the Pelicans talk about how they're desperate for a win. They want to get off this winless streak, at least get a 1 in the win column, and it takes some pressure off that. Think about Buddy Hield being the 6th pick in the NBA draft, being unable to shoot very well from deep to start his career. He didn't hit one until the other night. So that's been a bit disappointing with him. You know, again, if it takes until your 4th game to hit your first NBA 3, that is rough when that's what you're brought in to do. There's some other things he had tonight that were pretty bad. It shows how inconsistent he's going to be, how up and down the peaks and valleys that he's going to have. He had 4 personal fouls. He's not as horrible a defender as people have painted him out to be. If you go back and watch him a lot his junior year in Oklahoma, he played pretty solid defense. His senior year, he just wasn't asked to play defense. They said, just spend your energy scoring. And that's what he did, and it kind of developed a bad reputation of being a poor defender. He's a bit flat-footed at times, but he can hold his own. But 4 personal fouls shows, you know, how far away from, you know, an NBA type of defender he is. But his firepower was really important, helped the Pelicans claw back in after a couple, deficits early on in the first quarter and then in the third one. But he's at least going to give you enough offense and give you at least a little bit of okay defense to be able to be a rotation guy. He shouldn't fall out. He's not Jimmer 2.0, as our own Mason Ginsburg of BourbonStreetShots.com was joking about yesterday. It was a joke, everybody. I've seen the tweets. I made a joke as well. We're not calling his career over. He's still just going to struggle to find. He's like your seventh, eighth, ninth guy right now for the Pelicans, and you shouldn't really expect him to do anything more than, you know, that. Just be happy he had a good shooting night, and I think we move on from there. And so the bad for the Pelicans, other than just the overall shooting, Anthony Davis not playing particularly well. You know, I talked about the other day that I really didn't think the loss against Milwaukee was on Dante Cunningham, that people were really kind of putting it on his shoulders. Tonight, he was bad, and he was bad in only 5 minutes of play. He had two fouls early on that kind of stuck him on the bench. He missed two shots or three shots, I forget exactly now, early on that stuck him on the bench, and he was just never able to get off of it. Dalvin Gentry showed no trust in it. This is after he played very well against the Golden State Warriors, where it looked like he might be cementing, you know, a step or two up on the rotation for him, maybe being that six-man, seventh-man potential spot starter. And then he comes out, plays 5 minutes, plays absolutely atrocious in those 5 minutes. Just to show you, and this is taking sample size of only 5 minutes and largely out of context, his net rating was -64.4. So if he's playing 100 possessions out there for the Pelicans, they're getting outscored by 64.5 points, essentially. Not good. A lot of people are going to be really happy with Terrence Jones. I wasn't. I didn't like really what he brought to the table tonight. You know, he was 3 of 8 from the field. He was 1 of 3 from deep. He did grab 9 rebounds, 7 of them defensive, which is an area he struggles. But he doesn't look good on offense for the Pelicans. I know people really want to believe in this chemistry between him and Anthony Davis because they played on that same Kentucky team that won a title. But that was 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know how that factors into things right now, their chemistry on the court, even what that means when they haven't been playing together in the NBA for that long. He had 4 turnovers, too. His shot selection leaves a lot to be desired. He struggled at times defending Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol. Those aren't exactly great matchups for anybody, let's say, especially for someone who's a bit undersized. But overall, I did not like how he played, and I really was starting to buy into him in preseason. I know I ragged on him a little bit before that, but he doesn't look good in transition. You know, he brings some energy off the bench, but there's other guys I'd rather give those minutes to. So I really did not like how he played tonight. I talked about Lance Stephenson the other day. I'm going to talk about him again today. I know people really want this dude to be the savior. He played about, you know, 44, 45 minutes tonight. He had a good scoring night. He put up, you know, 21 points, 9 of 15 from shooting, you know, one of the Pelicans' better shooters. He was really the only guy on the Pelicans team that could bother Memphis inside with his drives to the rim. But when he's doing that, you're going to get some bad with it too. Four personal fouls. He had 4 turnovers as well. The assists look good, but he had a couple, you know, kind of out of control shots, those circus layups that I always said Tyreke Evans likes to take. Lance reminds you of that a little bit, you know, kind of out of sync. The Pelicans had a chance to win at the end of regulation, and all that kind of happened was Lance Stephenson was dribbling the ball till Anthony Davis set a screen and popped out for an open bad look of a 3. But Lance Stephenson needed to do a little bit more there for me. It's nice to see him getting minutes. It shows the Pelican staff trust him. You'd like to see him with him driving so much to the rim, getting to the line more than 2 times. Pelicans only got there 16 times total. They really need someone who can consistently draw free throws to get them into the bonus early. I don't know if Lance is going to be that guy. He hasn't been getting to the line a ton in preseason, the regular season. It shows he's needed on the second unit. His energy's good. His defense is good. He's not the savior just yet, but I'm not going to cut him from the team just yet. I like what he's done. Again, with him, you're going to have some good and you're going to have some bad, and they go hand in hand, and you're just going to have to live with it. He's never going to be a perfect player. Never was, never will be. And I know a lot of people really like him, but he's going to get his chance, especially with the team being 0-5. Give him a ton of minutes, see what you got in him. And we'll see how, you know, what his minutes are going to be like against the Phoenix Suns. That's a matchup that could work for him. We'll wait and see. Right now, it seems like Gentry's just kind of going with the hot hand. Then he starts that hot hand the next game, and they're not so hot, and he's got to mix it up again. And it's kind of this, you know, carousel of people moving into the lineup, getting more minutes. The rotation really doesn't seem set just yet. Omer Oshik actually had another good game. I know I've been talking about the bad and the kind of middle ground, but I do want to mention Oshik. I'd forgotten about him. He had a very good game. He was grabbing rebounds. He didn't really score on offense, but he's not there to. You don't even want him taking a ton of shots. That's not his job. You know, you want him in the paint to just kind of be on the defensive glass. He did that. Without him, the Pelicans were going to have a rough defensive rebounding night. Going into the Milwaukee game, I don't have the stats in front of me. Before that, they were grabbing about 80% of defensive rebounds. Tonight, they only grabbed 74.5%. So, you know, Memphis was able to grab 13 offensive rebounds, which is pretty good. And you don't want to give people second chance points, especially if you're a defense that struggles like the Pelicans. Don't make it harder on yourselves, which is what giving up offensive rebounds are going to do. So Pelicans didn't, you know, grab a ton of defensive rebounds, weren't particularly good in that area, but it was really Omer Asik who was holding it down himself. Grabbed 9 himself, 11 rebounds total. It was nice to see. He played 35 minutes. You don't want him playing that much. He's going to be a liability against smaller, more athletic teams. I like him more in that like 25-minute range, something depending on the matchup. You can play him more, less if it's a bad matchup like Milwaukee was. But he's having a good season. He's just overpaid to come off the bench. His, you know, contract looks a little bit better under the new NBA salary cap. It's not as bad as it was. The years are a little bit too long, but that's, you know, a different point. But overall, you know, he looked good off the bench. I kind of like him in that lineup with a guy like, you know, Langston Galloway, with Terrence Jones, Lance Stephenson, other people who can create maybe just a little bit more, and just, you know, let him do his job, which is clean up on the defensive glass, try and alter shots when he can. You know, he's a good on ball, you know, post up defender. He struggles when he's getting blitzed at the rim. If you go back to the past 2 years, don't count this one just yet, the Pelicans struggled. You know, they give up a lot of points in the paint, but that's not post guys scoring on him, big scoring down low. That's perimeter players blowing by their defender, getting right to the rim. Omer Asik can defend that a little bit. When that's happening to him 15, 16 times a game, no one can do that. He can't do it all, and that's what the Pelicans have put him in position to do, unfortunately, because the perimeter defense has been bad. In a more limited role where he's not getting blitzed, it takes kind of advantage of his strengths, and you know that's kind of how the Pelicans are using him so far. So 0-5, the Pelicans' record to start the year. Another year, they started 1-6 last year. I think they were 0-6 before they picked up their first win. Just really getting in some early holes. I mean, the season's long. It's 82 games. This is 5 games. 0-5, not the best start. In theory, there's time to turn it around. If you go back to 2007, Dallas was 0-4 the year they won the title. And we know how that went. They were raising banners after they beat the, you know, super team Heat. In that first NBA Finals with those guys. So, you know, I'd like to say there's time for them to turn it around, go on a playoff run. Maybe in the second half of the year they can. The West is better this year than it was last year, which is going to make it tougher. So 0-5, you know, are we looking for hope, or is this season kind of done? And I'm not saying it's done just because they're 0-5, and it's not a record thing. It's just the fact that I don't see this team turning it around that much. And the main issue is, and I've said it here, we had bright spots tonight. These weren't the same bright spots the night before. And then those bright spots weren't the ones from the night before that. This team is so maddeningly inconsistent. You don't know what type of game you're going to get from Langston Galloway, from Buddy Hield. Tim Frazier was largely ineffective tonight. Dante Cunningham, who had played well against the Warriors, who I thought played pretty well against Milwaukee, comes in tonight, gets the start, and is terrible. Solomon Hill was getting fouls and turnovers. You know, it's just, there's no one they can rely on outside of Anthony Davis. Drew Holiday should come back, and he is a guy you can rely on. You know, same with Tyreek Evans with what he does. I don't think he fits this offense. I don't think he fits what Alvin Gentry wants to do, but at least he's a guy you can rely on. So no, season's not over, but it's definitely not looking good for the Pelicans. If they can get some of these guys they've signed to start playing incredibly well, and you know, Etuan Moore's another one who's largely kind of vanished tonight, and the entire Pelicans starting five was just really bad. The bench looked significantly better than them, but that just goes to show you, again, inconsistency. Can we get some solid, consistent performances from the new signings, from Anthony Davis, who's done it, someone other than him? Tim Frazier has been doing it, and then he has a game like this, and these games might be one-off. You know, we're only 5 games into the year, but if they have 3 good games, 1 bad game, and then someone else steps up and they take a step back, how are you supposed to develop a rotation? How do you know which guys to play together to develop chemistry with? These are going to be a lot of problems for the Pelicans going forward. You know, and then they're getting a kind of upstart Phoenix team coming to town on Friday that plays with a lot of pace, has some young athletic guys, and it could be another one of those nights where who's going to do it for the Pelicans? And I have absolutely no idea. So overall, just a very rough game for the Pelicans. Probably best just to put this one out of your minds, not think about it too much. That's going to be the way to go. Sometimes these poor shooting nights happen. Sometimes it's simply a make or miss league, and Pelicans missed a ton tonight. At least the three-point shooting looked a little bit better. It shows you that Langston Galloway can play on this team. It shows you that Buddy Hield can make shots, that Omer Asik is still a valuable rotation piece, despite people wanting to run him out of town, and he was booed when the Warriors were in New Orleans and he was announced in the starting lineup. It goes to show you there are things here. There's nice spots. I just don't know if they can put it together and be consistent enough to make a late playoff push. You don't want to have to all of a sudden be making your run in January and on. Maybe they do it, maybe they don't. But if they don't get these guys starting to play consistent and get some better coaching a little bit, putting them in the right positions, don't let Lance Stephenson have the ball in the final play of the game. Come on. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. You've got better players that you should be trusting more. And because this team's so inconsistent, they can't, which makes it really hard. So that's all I've got for you guys. Kind of depressing night. Just an awful game. I think the World Series was far more fun to watch. Nice job by the Cubs. That's a pretty cool story. So I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. We'll preview the Phoenix game, get you ready for the weekend, and hopefully the Pelicans can pick up a W then. So I'm Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, writer for bourbonstreetshots.com. Please check the website out. Definitely read what we got going on up there. We got something new for you every day. Not the same type of recaps you'll read anywhere else. We want to bring you, in-depth, hard-hitting analysis. That just shows you a different side of basketball you've never seen, what's going to make you a smarter basketball fan. Don't forget to listen to Locked On NBA with David Locke, the head of the Locked On podcast network, where we come to you daily. That podcast is outstanding. I don't have time to watch every game every night. I check that out, listen to it, when it's up so that I can kind of catch up around the league, know what's going on, find out anything that I missed, just get some great insight all around. And he's a great listen. It's been very fun. There's also Locked On Saints, great podcast if you're a Saints fan, which I know most of you guys are. I enjoyed listening to that. I feel like I'm a smarter Saints fan now. So definitely give those all a check. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, whatever podcast app you use. You can get it on there. And if there's one you use and you can't get it on there, shoot me an email, jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. I can probably send them an email and get it so it's loaded on there, so you make sure you get it on your favorite app. This has been a lot of fun to do, and I really appreciate you all listening. So again, Locked On Pelicans, I'm Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you guys at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.